What a joy it is to be in the Lord's house, and what a joy it is to be singing the praises of Him. I greet you today in the name of Jesus, the healer and nonconformist. I'm going to read first from one of the letters of Paul. Therefore, my beloved and long for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And then skipping, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I read this first to turn our minds to the thought that God is here to take us where we are, and if there are maladjustments that we have, pains that we have, that we can bring them to Him who's the great healer. And when we think back over our experiences, we will recognize that there are things that should have been different, and then there are things that are praiseworthy, and that we think on these things, and that we learn from the others, and we seek the healing of Christ at the cross. That's for certain kinds of maladjustments, but I'm going to turn my attention to other kinds of maladjustments, so just define with me what I'm talking about. By nature, man is maladjusted. When compared to the animals, man is creative, inventive. He's uncomfortable here. He figures out a way to address it. And, man wasn't satisfied with cold air and cold food, and so he began to heat for warmth and for pleasant food. I don't see that happening in the animal kingdom. Man wasn't just satisfied with grunts and so on. He learned to communicate and develop complex languages and writing and printing and emails and all of these things that you and I become familiar with. Man was created to walk, and man does a lot of that, but man didn't want to just keep on walking all over, so man developed boats the wheel and domesticated horses for riding and all of, take it on. Man is creative and inventive and tends not to just be satisfied with things that are. And animals don't do these kinds of things. They have no felt need for better things. They've been adjusted to things as they are. And there's a certain kind of maladjustment that's God-given. And we become adjusted to maladjustment, in fact. That's kind of a play on words, isn't it? When life is somewhat difficult for us and we are out of kilter with our environment, we often profit from that strain. And therein God even enters the picture with the words of Paul, who says that in all things God is working for good to them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purposes. So it's sometimes that we profit from the exertion. It's a little like man doesn't like a lot of steep hills and uneven ground. So maybe man pours concrete and makes things level or fills in the, I thought about how that we fill in the uneven terrain with dirt packing and then sidewalks. And this level, hard surface benefits man, helps us to walk more briskly and so on, and yet the concrete is hard on our feet. And so we discover that there are other places that are better to exercise and so on. Now let's see, where am I going? Somehow it's true, is too, isn't it, that when life becomes too easy for us, we suffer. And so there's this side of it too. Like, how many of you have ever been confined to bed rest for a period of time? You know, bed rest for a period of time may help with the certain affliction that we're having, but bed rest does bring with it some decline in muscle tone and so on. And so we can suffer from too much rest. And so we sing, when peace like a river attendeth my soul, and we need that so badly because we are maladjusted in heart, and we need to come to God, and God, and at the cross, we make things right, we repent, and he reassures us with his love that we're his child, and he wants us, and so on. So there's great peace that comes at that kind of a time, but there's also this thing of just too much comfort and just too much inactivity. And muscles require opposition and struggle to keep their tone. And so it is that our spiritual muscles are in a similar way. So now I'll refer to Acts 5. And I'm going to end up, I think if I can do this right, I want to end up in Philippians 3. But in Acts 5, I'm going to recap the scene of the apostles. And they are in an ecclesiastical trial before the Jewish leaders, and they don't blend in. They're maladjusted. It would have been a time when it would have been tempting to say, "I'll just be quiet. I'll just be doing as the Romans do here." But no, they had an inner compulsion. They had an experience with God that caused them to witness, and people were coming to the faith, the way of Jesus, and it was just exciting on that front. But meanwhile, the authorities were very concerned and repressive, and they called them together, and they had a mind to just kill these apostles. Maybe Peter and John, whoever was the leaders, or maybe it was the whole gang, I'm not sure, but I know Peter is mentioned here. And so here, when the pressure is at its zenith, Peter declares that we must obey God rather than men. And they were maladjusted nonconformists. They had a compulsion to witness about Jesus. And it's beautiful to read that they declared this so forthrightly. Now I'm thinking about today. I'm thinking about some of the things, ways in which we might examine ourselves. Do advertisements dictate to us? Do changes in styles cause us to throw away perfectly good clothes? Do we unthinkingly bow our knees to custom and tradition without examining their values? Everybody's doing it. Is that adequate justification for everything? Do we have a voice, or do we have merely an echo? You know, what we need now is not just to say, I will be completely maladjusted and completely nonconformed, while we have just built the case for being maladjusted. What we need is Jesus. What we need is Jesus as a guide and his Spirit. We need the Word of Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus to give us the thrust of who we are and what we want to be. And then when we find others of like-mindedness, we find comfort and unity, both in spirit and expression. And I think it's wonderful when God works through his people in a similar way that God works through the cross to change hearts and lives and bring peace, so he can work through a group of Christ followers to help us and to modify this desirable trait of maladjustment. And now I want to read. I would like to read all of Philippians 3, but I will have to truncate that reading, unfortunately. Philippians 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And then beware of things. And Paul gives his stories, his qualifications as a good Jew. And then he says, I count all these things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, and that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And then not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many of us as are mature have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. I just love this kind of motivational thinking. There is value in looking back and learning from the past, and I don't want to depreciate history. We're unwise to ignore it. But Paul here is teaching us also, and maybe primarily, be forward-looking people. We want to learn from those things, but we want to go forward. And chiefly that we can see Jesus beckoning us on, and that we're looking for his prize. That is so special as I think about it. And then he concludes, mind the same thing. There are some abridgments to the call of maladjusted nonconformity. And the body of Christ is part of that. But chiefly, it's a focus and a response to the call of Jesus. Let us kneel for prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the grace that you've given, for the example you are, and for the security that we have in you. And Heavenly Father, I pray that if there is anyone here, any one of us with a hurt and any one of us with a question and some sense of estrangement from you, that before this day is out, your word and your people can love us into restored relationship with you. Lord, we thank you that you are reaching out to us and that as you minister to us, you give us something to live for and a voice to use. And I pray that you would help us to be maladjusted enough to not be satisfied with just comfort or a mediocre experience in our walk with you. Bless the teachers today and our worship time together. In Jesus' name, amen.